from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, here are the programs for today's edition on Thursday, January the 4th, 2018. As usual, we will begin with the news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and Miscellany. And we will end today's edition, as usual, with the music program called Music Corner. Listener, that is our program for today. So, stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo arrives in New Delhi. Apindo responds positively, President Joko Widodo's working visit to South Asia. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo arrives at Palam Air Base, New Delhi, to attend the 2018 ASEAN-India Summit celebration at the Taj Diplomatic Enclave Hotel. According to Antara's report in New Delhi, India on Thursday, President and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo arrived at Palam Air Base at around 12:15 local time or 1:45 p.m. after a state visit to Sri Lanka. Prior to attending the ASEAN-India 2018 summit, President Joko Widodo and First Lady, along with Indian President Ramnath Kovind and Ms. Savita Kovind, at Rashtrapati Bhavan Palace held a luncheon following the retreat session entitled Maritime and Security Cooperation with Prime Minister Narendra Modi. The heads of state or government attending the event were Prime Minister Nguyen Chuan Phuc, Prime Minister of Singapore Lee Hsien Loong, Prime Minister of Thailand Prayut Chan-o-cha, Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak, Cambodian Prime Minister Hun Sen, Prime Minister of Laos Thanglun Sisolith, Burmese leader Da Aung San Suu Kyi, Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte, Prime Minister of Brunei Darussalam Sultan Hassanal Bolkiah. Then, Joko Widodo visited the Mughal Gardens with other ASEAN heads of state and government. The ASEAN-India 2018 summit at the Taj Diplomatic Enclave Hotel will host a plenary meeting entitled Value and Grace Together. President Joko Widodo is also scheduled to attend the cultural program event held by Prime Minister Modi. A number of agendas planned by Indonesia at the ASEAN-India 2018 summit are maritime cooperation, economic cooperation, and political security cooperation. Chairman of the Indonesian Business People Association, or APINDO, Haryadi Sukamdhani, responded positively. Indonesian President Joko Widodo state visits to five countries in South Asia. After attending a seminar on business opportunities in Indonesia in 2018 on Wednesday, January 24th in Jakarta, Haryadi said that the visit could boost Indonesia's economic development through increasing economic cooperation with friendly countries. In addition, according to him, President Joko Widodo's visit to South Asian countries also shows Indonesia's attention to the development in those countries.
Saya rasa positif ya karena negara-negara tersebut.
I think it is positive because those countries actually have great potential and need to be upgraded. Like India, for example, India is quite a big trend upward. Afghanistan is not yet because the country is still facing problems. This means that not only economic but also politics is also important. The government also needs to pay attention to the countries that are in trouble. President Joko Widodo conducted a series of state visits from 24th to 29th January. The visit is made to 5 countries, namely Sri Lanka, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Afghanistan. In addition to bilateral visits with the 5 countries, the President is also scheduled to attend the ASEAN-India Summit as well as the 25th anniversary of ASEAN and India cooperation. The meeting is scheduled to produce a New Delhi Declaration that addresses the fight against terrorism. The Indonesian Business People Association APindo is optimistic that the Indonesian economy will be better in 2018 than 2017. APindo Chairman Haryadi Sukamdhani on Wednesday, January 24th in Jakarta said that he is optimistic after seeing some positive trends related to the national economy that emerged in early 2018. Besides, Haryadi also added that in 2018, Indonesia's economic condition is projected to be more conducive in the midst of increasingly heated political conditions ahead of the regional head simultaneous election, Pilkada, in June 2018 and 2019 presidential election. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Chief of the Indonesian Military TNI, Marshal Adhadi Cahyanto, to media after closing ceremony of Indonesian Military Leaders Meeting 2018 at the TNI headquarters in Cilangkap, East Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon said that his side provides health services for Indonesian people in unreachable districts. TNI establishes medical task force. He said that the Indonesian Military TNI will be the front line to help people who are in need. There are an evaluation of working program and budget in 2017 and working outlook 2018. The important thing is that the activity of task force of securing borders and vulnerable areas can be conducted. However, TNI has established one more task force, namely medical task force.
Pengamanan perbatasan, pamrahwan, namun untuk tahun 2018 ini ditambah satu satgas lagi, yaitu satgas kesehatan.
Chief Marshal Hadi Cahyanto also affirmed that the medical task force of the Indonesian military will be deployed in the area which have health crises and in the remote areas, especially in Papua regions. Tour de Indonesia is one of the most prestigious cycling tour in Indonesia since 2004 until 2011. After 7 years of vacancy in 2018, Tour de Indonesia will be held again with the highest category. At a press conference Wednesday afternoon, January 24th in Yogyakarta, General Chairman of Indonesian Bicycle Sports Association Raja Sapta Oktohari said that the tour is different from the previous tours because the first time Indonesia has 2.1 race that has the race with the highest classification. The dubbing, insertnya UB. This tour is different because for the first time, Indonesia has 2.1 race. So this is the highest classification tour we have in Indonesia. And this is also the first bike racing tour that is broadcast live on streaming, starting from start to finish. Even this activity will be broadcast by a well-known foreign media, Eurosport. The tour, which will take place on January 25th until 28th, originally took start location at Borobudur Temple, Yogyakarta, but there was a shift to Prambanan Temple. Due to technical reasons, the displacement of the start location also affects the race distance. The distance of the first stage from Prambanan Temple, ending in Ngawi, East Java, is 124.7 km long. On the second stage, the rider will start the race from Madiun and end in Mojokerto, with a distance of 117.7 kilometers. After finish, all riders will continue the trip to Probolinggo, which become the location start of Stage 3, to Banyuwangi with distance of 200 kilometers. From the last stage, all the riders will cross to Bali Island. The start line is from Gilimanuk and will finish in Denpasar, Bali, with distance of 170.9 kilometers. The number of participants already registered in Tour de Indonesia 2018 is 22 countries joined in 15 continental teams, including 5 national teams from Indonesia, Malaysia, Eritrea, and Mongolia. Indonesian Ministry of Trade has released a permit to import 2.37 million tons of industrial salt to 21 companies, the Foreign Trade Director General Okanurwan said in Jakarta on Wednesday. He also remarked that the industrial salt will be distributed to the local factories in the pharmaceutical and cosmetics industry, Chor Alkali plant and chemical factories, as well as salted fish makers. He emphasized that the salt is not allowed to be distributed to the consumer market. In accordance with the Trade Ministry's Regulation No. 125/2015 on salt import. However, other 17 companies in the food industry have reportedly requested for a similar permit to import some 663,000 tons of industrial salt. In accordance with the agreement with the Maritime Affairs Coordinating Ministry, the Trade Ministry will only allow the import of not less than 3.7 million tons of industrial salt this year. And the last item, Indonesian Ministry of Transportation warned that it would take firm actions against salvage companies abusing Indonesia's salvage permit. Director of Sea and Coast Guard Unity, Johnny R. Silalahi, said in Jakarta Wednesday that the ministry will not hesitate to revoke a salvage company's permit up to imposing criminal sanctions. He also said that the punishments for salvage companies that do not comply with the permits issued by the Director of Sea and Coast Guard Unity Directorate will be based on provisions in the legislation. Previously, Prime Minister of Netherlands Mark Rutte personally reported the case to Indonesian President Joko Widodo during his visit to Jakarta back in November 2016. The report suggests that three Dutch World War II shipwrecks were seemingly missing from its original location near the waters of Bawean Island in East Java. The three shipwrecks missing are the HNLMS Java and HNLMS Cortina. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo arrives in New Delhi. Apindo responds positively President Joko Widodo's working visit to South Asia. And listener, that was news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thanks for listening. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with the program Commentary. The title of today's commentary is A Breakthrough of KPK Early 2018. On January 23, 2018, the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK again made a surprise by deciding the status of a suspect to a regional head. The official is suspected of accepting bribes and gratuities related to the implementation of projects within his government. On the one hand, people see clearly how the capacity of the anti-corruption institution shows the KPK is so smart with the support of all parties, crack down those who abuse their authority. On the other hand, the question arises why there are still those who commit corruption. In fact, the data of Minister of Juniper shows that there had been hundreds of corruption cases by regional heads charged by the KPK from 2004-2017. This should be enough to remind anyone not to take consequence. Over the first few years of regional autonomy applied, the call of little kings for regional heads occurred. It was only natural remembering that their authority was powerful. The positive impact of the democratic spirit in the reformation era is aimed at accelerating development in each region. Each region is authorized to accelerate development in accordance with its potential. Unfortunately, temptations arise from individual group of interests. Unsurprisingly, the KPK action to eradicate the abuse of authority by these little kings is greatly appreciated by the people of Indonesia. Now, corruption eradication efforts do not encounter significant obstacle as supported by all stakeholders, in addition to the strength of underlying legal basis. KPK seems to keep making breakthrough. Without fearing a big to eradicate corruption, now the problem is that how the KPK takes prevent effects, such as by maximizing the presence of internal monitoring units to be involved in the execution of each project. In addition, it may be necessary to review the democratic system in election of regional heads, especially in terms of huge costs that contestants and supporters must spend. Consequently, this brings about impact on corruption by some regional heads, both incumbent and the newly elected ones. Indeed, every country has its own uniqueness in democracy, so the model of democracy in one country cannot be applied absolutely, but democracy should not be secretly fake image of something bad. If this is the case, KPK's word will be endless, and this is not good news. Corruption will continue to recur if the root cause of the problem is not well identified. That's why this must be immediately resolved. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from an event on January 20, 1946 when Mayor Dan Mogot passed away. Dan Mogot was a military officer who involved in a struggle for Indonesian independence, and he was former member and trainer of Defenders of the Homeland Troops in Bali and Jakarta in 1942-1945. After the World War II was over, he became a commander of the People's Security Army in Jakarta with the rank of mayor. In November 1945, he established Tangerang Military Academy, and he also became the first director of the academy in the age of 17 years old. On January 25, 1946, Mayor Dan Mogot was killed at Lengkon Forest, south of Tangerang City, along with 36 people in fighting against Japanese troops when they wanted to disarm at Lengkon Forest in Tangerang. The name of Dan Mogot is immortalized as a name of street which connects Grogol in West Jakarta and Cengkareng in Tangerang. Meanwhile, at Lengkon Battle Place, Monument of Lengkon Battle was built. The next event was that in 2006, Sudarmono passed away. Retired Lieutenant General Haji Sudarmono was Indonesian 5th Vice President and was in office during the period 1988 until 1993. Sudarmono only graduated from Junior High School when Indonesia proclaimed its independence from the Dutch in 1945. After deciding to start further education, Sudarmono also assisted to collect weapons from Japanese troops in preparing for formation of Indonesian National Army. He became Division Commander of Ronggolawe, a position which was held during the Indonesian Independence War against the Dutch force, which attacked Indonesia again. After the Dutch was backward in 1949, Sudarmono finished his education before going to Jakarta in 1952 to join in the Military Law Academy. In 1962, Sudarmono had the title in law after finishing his study in Military Law University. At the General Assembly of the People's Consular Assembly in March 1988, Sudarmono was selected to be Vice President. In January 2006, Sudarmono passed away. He was buried in Kalibata Hero Cemetery in East Jakarta. And the last event was that in 2010, Ethiopian Airlines flight 409 crashed into Mediterranean Sea. Ethiopian Airlines flight 409 was an international commercial flight scheduled from Burito, Addis Ababa that crashed into the Mediterranean Sea shortly after takeoff from Rapid Hariri International Airport on 25th January 2010, killing all 90 people on board. This was the first crash for Ethiopian Airlines since the hijack of Ethiopian Airlines flight 961 occurred in 1996. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia, entitled Environmental Management of Bandung City is Appreciated by Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya. Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, appreciated the major changes in Bandung in the last 4 years, especially in the environmental field. One of the indicators can be seen from the achievement gained by Bandung City, namely Adipura Award, for 3 consecutive years after its 17-year vacuum from the award. Minister Siti Nurbaya thanked for the innovation that has been done by the government of Bandung in raising awareness of the residents toward the importance of maintaining cleanliness. It was said in the event of Joyful to Manage Waste for Clean and Healthy Life in Bandung City Hall Plaza last Sunday, 21 January. Director General of Hazardous Waste Management and Hazardous Materials, Rosa Vivin Ratnawati, said this activity is part of National Awareness Waste Day, which falls on February 21, 2018. It is the 7th event implemented by the Ministry of Environment and Forestry. The event is aimed to give education and build the awareness to the young generation about the importance of waste management, beginning from upstream to downstream. This event does not only bring the way to manage the waste, but also educate people to reduce waste production. A total of 1,500 students participated in this event. This activity consists of waste sorting practices, simple process of compost, handicraft creation from plastic and paper waste, clean life campaign, storytelling about the environment, education of waste management by game, and clean and healthy declaration of Indonesian kids. Meanwhile, Minister Siti Nurbaya said that her ministry also chose the city of Bandung as a place to declare the national movement Free of Waste 2020. The event is collaboration between Bandung government and the Ministry of Environment and Forestry. The minister also mentioned that she revealed the data that 64% of waste still ends up to the final disposal. Only 0.6% is recycled and 1.1% is processed into compost. Meanwhile, Mayor of Bandung, Ridwan Kamil, explained that his administration has conducted some concepts and innovation in Bandung, starting from the garbage picking movement every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to Zero Waste Program. He said, the education waste management is very important to be given to younger generation since they play a significant role in effort to fight against garbage. Mayor Ridwan Kamil revealed that he also has issued at least 20 regulatory innovations about the environment, including the Citarum Harum program, which is cleaning the waste action in Citarum River. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo arrives at Palam Air Base New Delhi to attend the 2018 ASEAN-India Summit celebration at the Taj Diplomatic Enclave Hotel. According to Antara's report, in New Delhi on Thursday, President and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo arrived at Palam Airport at around 12:15 local time or 1:45 p.m. after a state visit to Sri Lanka. Chairman of the Indonesian Business People Association APindo, Heriadi Sukamdhani, responded positively President Joko Widodo's state visits to 5 countries in South Asia. The Indonesian Business People Association APindo is optimistic that the Indonesian economy will be better in 2018 than in 2017. Chief of Indonesian Military TNI Marshal Hadi Cahyanto to media after closing ceremony of Indonesian Military Leaders Meeting 2018, at the TNI headquarters in Cilangkap, East Jakarta, said that his site provides health services for Indonesian people in unreachable districts. Tour de Indonesia is one of the most prestigious cycling tour in Indonesia since 2004 until 2011. After 7 years of vacancy in 2018, Tour de Indonesia will be held again with the highest category. Indonesian Ministry of Trade has released a permit to import 2.37 million tons of industrial salt to 21 companies. And the last item, Indonesian Ministry of Transportation warned that it would take firm actions against salvage companies abusing Indonesia's salvage permit. And listener, that was News in Brief from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Bali. Stay tuned. Listener, CNN Travel International named Nyang Nyang Beach in Pechatu Village, Badung, Bali as one of the best beaches in the world and must be visited in 2018. Nyang Nyang Beach is the only beach that represents Indonesia in the list. Nyang Nyang Beach offers white sand beaches with comfort and tranquility that different compared to other Bali's popular beaches such as Kuta Beach or Pandawa Beach. The location is precisely on the road Uluwatu, Pechatu, Kuta, Badung. Listener, Nyang Nyang Beach is not so famous than other beaches in the area of South Kuta. Nyang Nyang Beach location before the Uluwatu Temple. Unfortunately, the access to Nyang Nyang Beach is difficult because it is located under the cliffs and hills, so you have to descend hundreds of stairs with a fairly extreme slope. You must have good stamina. If you want to visit Nyang Nyang Beach, it is recommended that you come from May to October to avoid the rainy season because the access will be more slippery and difficult. Listener, weariness when you down hundreds of stairs will be paid after arriving at Nyang Nyang Beach. Views of open sea connecting the coast with the Indian Ocean will be found on Nyang Nyang Beach. The natural condition of the beach and lack of visitors. For those who like tranquility, the beach is appropriate for you. Due to the direct encounter with the Indian Ocean, the beach has quite large waves and it is perfect for surfing activities. Even the beach is touted as a paradise of surfers. For those who cannot swimming on the beach, you can choose other activities such as sunbathing on the beach, looking for shells, or camping. exploring Yangyang Beach and climb back to the top of the cliff. There is still another exciting activity, namely paragliding. Do not miss it and see the sunset, cliff, and beach views from the top of the air. Because the beach is located in Uluwatu, South Kuta, you also can enjoy the beauty of other tourism attractions such as Uluwatu Temple. There are also other beautiful beaches close to Yangyang Beach, such as Karma Kandara Beach and Green Bowl. Well, listener, that was the regular Indonesian Wonderful Today with the topic Yangyang Beach in Padang, Bali. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in My Language, informing you the traditional language of Indonesia. From hundreds of traditional languages, around 145 with less than 1 million speakers, keep experiencing declining status. 30 of 58 traditional languages in West Papua are predicted extinct in the last 20 years. Besides that, 10 to 15 other languages in West Papua, like Maya, Mpur, Tonsep, and Karondori, are also confirmed dead because of never spoken anymore. Losing a traditional language means losing identity of an S nation, because language is part of it. Therefore, preservation needs to be carried out, moreoverly because this had been mandated in the constitution. Traditional language must be preserved according to the law number 24/2009, where the regional government should pay attention to regional languages.
Pemerintah daerah harus mulai memperhatikan bahasa daerah.
Traditional languages are mother language, owned by every region in the corners of this archipelago. Their existence are significant as identity and to maintain the unity of Indonesia. They can certainly prevent disintegration of the nation.
Untuk mengantisipasi
to anticipate various disintegration issues in Indonesia, we focus on the language. However, those 652 diverse languages of Indonesia mapped until 2017, how will we record them?
Keberagaman bahasa di Indonesia yang terpetakan sampai 2017 yang jumlahnya 652 itu mau didokumentasikan dalam bentuk apa?
Mapping languages in Indonesia had been carried out by various institutions and linguists, both from Indonesia and international. The results are quite varied. There are different information on language, especially the amount of language in Indonesia. The different results was caused by the language mapping method. On the other side, there are only few who tried to map the vitality status of languages in Indonesia. The mapping is to measure the survivability level of a language, safe, stable yet endangered,
declining endangered, critically endangered, or extinct. The United Nations through UNESCO with the Atlas of World Languages in Danger Project and Summer Institute of Linguistics with their Ethnologue Project are example of world institution who had tried to map the languages as well as their vitality statuses. Narasi, listener, that was My Language, a program informing you the diverse traditional language in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present nostalgic pop songs from Indonesian female singer Iis Dahlia. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Jatuh Cinta. Happy listening.
Berjuta rasanya dipeluk dicium ambon rasanya jatuh cinta berjuta indahnya biar siang biar malam manislah nampaknya dia jauh aku gemas tapi hati rindu dia dekat. Jalan gak boleh lalu sembarangan. Mana dia suka datang telat. Masih mungkin gak semalam.
Berjuta rasa dia siang dia malam apun rasanya.
Jatuh cinta berjuta indahnya biar siang biar malam manislah nampaknya. Oh asiknya. Berjuta indahnya biar siang biar malam manislah nampaknya dia jauh aku gemas tapi hati rindu dia dekat aku senang tapi salah tingkah dia hati aku pura-pura jual mahal dia acuh aku cari perhatian.
Dia sukanya cewek yang gak manja. Kita kan manja. Biarpun begini, kita pun gini-gini. Kita kan pengen disayang juga.
Ha, jatuh cinta berjuta indahnya biar siang, biar malam manislah nampaknya. Oh, asiknya.
Oh,
That was the song Jatuh Cinta by Ois Darlia. The song, which popular in 1970s, was composed by a legendary singer Titiek Puspa. The song was also dedicated by top singer Eddy Silitonga. The dynamic and joyful song Jatuh Cinta is one of the hit songs of Titiek Puspa, which can be enjoyed by Indonesian music lovers until nowadays. It tells about the feeling of love. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Angin Malam by Ois Darlia. Enjoy the song.
Berhembus angin malam mencekam, menghempas, membelai wajah ayu. Dekati dirimu, kau diam, tersungging senyuman di bibirmu. Itulah senyuman yang terakhir darimu.
Listener, before being a solo singer, is Dahlia started her career by joining a band called Anti-Click in 1975. The group consisted of Is Dahlia, the vocalist, Reni Asmara, drummer, Nini Castagna, alto saxophonist, Evi Marta, the bassist, and Riza Angoman, guitarist and organ player. They followed the Women Band Festival in Indonesia in 1975 and managed to captivate the hearts of Indonesian music lovers, even though they failed to be the winner. Unfortunately, the band did not last long and broke up. After that, Ais chose her work in a solo career and duet with famous singer Hetikus Endang. In collaboration with Hetikus Endang, she performed a song entitled Siksa. The song won the Festival of Indonesian Popular Songs in 1981. A year later, Ais was handled by Titiek Puspa and produced an album entitled Apanya Dong. This album exploded in the market while lifting Ais' career to the highest peak of Indonesian music world. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kisah Sedih di Hari Minggu and Simfoni Rindu. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Aku tak mau menderita. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Seiring kata keringin seberlahan tangisku pun tersendat pilu jarak kau yang masih kurambakan di sini di pembaringan aku sendiri menanti sampai akhir hidup ini. Di hatiku tiada yang lain selain dirimu. Kau pelita hidupku. Di hatiku hanya kau kasih dambaan kalbuku. Kau tumpuan harapan yang terakhir. Hatiku tiada yang lain selain dirimu. Kau pelita hidupku. Di hatiku hanya kau kasih dambaan kabuku. Kau tumpuan harapan yang terakhir. Seiring datang teriris perlahan tangisku pun tersendat pilu tiada kau yang masih kurang bakar di sini di pembaringan aku sendiri meranti sampai akhir. Di hatiku tiada yang lain selain dirimu. Kau pelita hidupku. Di hatiku hanya kau kasih dambaan kalbuku. Kau tumpuan harapan yang terakhir.
Luka dan lara di hatimu. Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.